Welcome to the August 11th sermon from Clifford Baptist Church, 635 Fletcher's Level Road in Amherst. Today's scripture is Ruth chapter 2, verses 1 through 10, and the sermon is entitled, The Grace of God and the Grace of Man, delivered today by Pastor Jeffrey Campbell.
Go to the Old Testament book of Ruth together, chapter number 2, and I hope that you enjoyed last week as we began our revival, and this week as We heard each speaker during each night that was there, and I'm grateful for what each man brought to us. I believe it was a God-ordained week, and I'm grateful for that. It has challenged me, and as I come to the pulpit today, I'm like, okay, how do you follow revival? And you just simply follow it with obeying the Word of God. You just continue on and keep on keeping on. My prayer is that revival did challenge us and change us where we are needed, and that we center our hearts on God's Word together as His people and as His church today. You know the story of Ruth. How many of you know this story well? Just raise your hand. I'm not here to retell this story. I'm here to just teach it to you and allow God to teach us something from a very familiar story, and not just put it back on the shelf and say, okay, I've heard that story. I don't need to hear about it again. There are two main places in the story of Ruth. I'm preaching on one today, and I'm finishing the sermon on the other this week. And that is this, the field and the threshing floor. Those two places in Ruth's life and in Boaz's life changed their life. And there have been times in my life that you have come across seasons or times or places or even people that God used to change your life. And there is a very orchestrated theological point throughout God's Word. And we have to be very careful with this point because we don't know all of what it entails. And here's what churches and Christians do. We sit around and we argue about it and we let it divide us, and then the church is broken. How much does God have in play, and how much is man's and women's responsibility in play? And to that question, I say yes. It is the grace of God, and it is the only reason that any of us are alive and breathing and are able to be here today. Amen? Amen. But with that grace of God comes human responsibility that you must do and follow and be obedient to what the Lord has for you. And when those things mesh, you have the will and the purpose of God. And so the title of today's sermon is in a story about Ruth. How do you see the grace of God, and how do you see the grace of man? And so from the very beginning of the sermon, you are looking for those two things in 10 verses today. How do you see God work, and how do you see man work? As we open up the scriptures. Now, I can get into some deeper theology than that, but I don't have time for that today. I'm not a Calvinist, and I'm not an Arminianist. I am in the middle. I walk the middle line. I believe God has His place, and man has his place, and when that happens, God is glorified. And so today, I hope you see God at work as we open up the second chapter of Ruth. I want to tell you a little bit of background for those of you that this may be your first week here. The first chapter opens up telling us the story of Ruth. And you know that story. You know what it looks like. Ruth, she left her homeland and she went into the land of Moab. Naomi went there looking for food. And she went there with her husband Elimelech, and her two sons were there. And they went because they had no food. I think that was disobedience to God. But they went there. And as life would have them in Moab, life carried on, and their two sons met two women, but something happened before that, and that was this. Naomi lost her husband, Elimelech. He died. He died in that far land, and that left her alone with two children. Those two children marry two women, and they're doing life. And then all of a sudden, those two sons, they pass away. And so a couple of weeks ago, we look where Ruth and Naomi, they head back to Judah. They're going back to Naomi's homeland. And Ruth pledges her love to her mother-in-law, and the other sister-in-law decides to stay in Moab. And chapter number 1 closes with these words. As they came to Bethlehem, it was the beginning of barley harvest. And we close that last sermon by saying this: that is God's perfect timing. Whenever there is a need, God has a will, and God has a way, and God's timing is perfect. And you can have the right method, but you can miss God's timing, and by that you miss the will of God. And so we see this lining up in the life of Naomi and Ruth. Look at verse number 1. As they come back into Bethlehem, here's what it says. And Naomi had a kinsman of her husband's, a mighty man of wealth, of the family of Elimelech, and his name was Boaz. All right, how many of you ladies love a good Hallmark movie? Listen, this is going to play out just like the Hallmark movie. In the opening 10 minutes, you can already predict the ending, okay? You know how it's going to end. We're introduced to a man by the name of Boaz, and we're told a lot about his life. But here's what you need to know. In the grace of God and in the grace of man, point number 1 today, a kinsman exists. Let me rephrase that for you. A redeemer is there. As you read this story, you in your minds need to see Boaz as our Christ. He is our Redeemer. But there is a man by the name of Boaz. And here's what the Bible says about Boaz in these words in the King James Version, that he is a mighty man of wealth. All right, ladies. That's a check on the box, right? He's got money. He's got position. But what this speaks to is more in line with his character. So I'm going to preach to you, especially the young women and the older women, okay? When you're looking for a man, don't look at his back pocket. Money can only get you so far. But it's more about the character of the man that you are looking at. When we see this man, we see that God makes sure that we understand that it's not a wealth in terms of money. It's a wealth in terms of character. And you're going to see that character on display throughout this story. We know that this man is connected to Elimelech. He is that kinsman. He is that redeemer. But as it moves on, we see that he is a mighty man of wealth. It's not only his physical assets, but it's his character, even his position of what he has in that community. And the third thing you see is you see his name. His name is Boaz. When we meet people, we want to know something about them, and we want to know their name. Who is that? What do they do? How are they connected? And as they are moving back into the homeland, there is this man that jumps off the pages of Scripture. He is Boaz. The character, the man of God that comes on the pages of Scripture. And so today, greater than a Hallmark story is a man of godly character. And you cannot miss that. And this man is a kinsman. What you need to know about that, you will hear more about that as you stay with me through this series, is this. This man has the opportunity to redeem this family. He has that opportunity. He doesn't have to, but he has the opportunity. But there is a Boaz in the mix. And I'm grateful today that as we look at the life of Boaz and what it means to Naomi and what it means to Ruth, is there is hope. Remember how Naomi felt as she came back into this land? She was bitter and she was empty. She was hopeless. So now she understands, and now Naomi knows that there is somebody that could possibly take care of her. Today, maybe you're sitting in these pews, or maybe you're watching live stream, and maybe whatever situation you're in, you say, if I just had somebody to help me. If I just had somebody to take care of me, here's what I want you to know. You have a Redeemer, and His name is Jesus. Amen. And He wants to help. Look at verses 2 and 3. And Ruth the Moabitess said unto Naomi, let me now go to the field and glean ears of corn after him, in whose sight I shall find grace. And she said unto her, go, my daughter. And she went and came and gleaned in the field after the reapers. And her hap was to light on a part of the field belonging unto Boaz, who was of the kindred of Elimelech. Man, I told you, it's just like a Hallmark movie. As you're sitting there reading today, she says, guess what? I need something to eat. And as Ruth comes to Naomi, she comes knowing that she has a need. And that need is this. We need food. Because both Ruth and Naomi were widows, they went to the bottom of the structure in the day. And they had no one to take care of them. So they could not provide for themselves. They needed help. And immediately their poverty went to the very bottom. And their only hope was to glean the fields of those that were harvesting the crop. That's how poor they were. Point number two today, when we think about the grace of God and the grace of man, is this. There are no accidents. Can I get an amen? Amen. If you believe it. There are no accidents. Those are tough words to write. Those are hard words to write, no matter what you are going through. And me as a pastor, looking back in the last year, I wrote those words in the last year. There have been no accidents. Do y'all remember smoke damage? Now cancer diagnosis. The past year of my life, as I wrote those words, it was a great reminder. There are no accidents. Everything that reaches the believer has to be filtered and funneled through the very hands of a loving God. And I want you to see a God looking down on these two women in great need, knowing they just need the bare minimum of food. And they come back into town as the harvest is being cut. And as they make their way back into town, Ruth asks and begs Naomi in verse number 3, let me go to the field and glean the ears of corn after somebody that might show grace upon me, that might let me gather a few ears of corn that we can eat. And as she desperately asks her mother-in-law, because she is a stranger, this is not her land, this is not her country, these are not her people, do you think I could just get a few ears of corn? And Naomi says, sure, you need to go on and you need to make your way. Look at verse number 2. It says, go, my daughter, go on and get what you need. It will be okay. God will take care of you. The reasons that Ruth should not go to the field is the reasons that she needs to go to the field. The reason that she needs to go to that field is the reason that she's hesitant. I don't belong here. These are not my people. I don't know what's going to happen. So I'm nervous about going. And Naomi says, just go on. As I prayed through that, I wrote these words. These are the same reasons that people should be in church, but they don't come to church. Listen to me, church. There are no accidents. And when people are looking at church, they know they need to go. They know it offers them something that they can need and use in their life. And they don't go because they are afraid of what's going to be there when they get there. This is not to this church. This is to our church in general. If we look down our nose and say, you don't belong here, shame on us. We operate as a hospital, not as a courtroom. I will say that one more time. We operate as a hospital, not a courtroom. Amen. Now, I do believe that we need to carry out the Word of God, and I will stand on that. But when somebody is seeking what they need, if we turn them away, shame on us. There are no accidents. So as Ruth surveys that field and she moves in toward and begins to pick those ears, look at verse number 3. She went and she came and she gleaned of that field after the reapers. And her hap was to light on a part of the field belonging unto Boaz, who was of the kindred of Elimelech. I love the way that the Bible says this, that she just happened to come on Boaz's piece of land. Now, I don't know about you. And here's where we have to be careful as Christians in the words that we say. If you believe that things happen by accident or coincidence, or how dare you use that word karma? Because Christians use those words. Karma is a Buddhist, Hindu belief. It is not even a Christian principle, but Christians use that word. How dare us? There's no such thing as a happenstance or a coincidence. Whatever you say, it doesn't just happen. God is in control. Amen. And so as Ruth comes to this field, the Bible says it just happens to be Boaz. Yes, it happens to be Boaz, but that is how our God works. He directed her to that field where she would not only find what she need, but she would also find a future. And so today, as a teenage young boy, I had a 70-year-old man grab me up one time, and he told me as a teenage boy, there are no coincidences, there are God incidences. And I don't know what that means to you, but I want to challenge you, whatever you're going through, it's not by accident. It's not because God is punishing you. It's been filtered through the hand of God, and he may be challenging your faith, but he is the one that needs to be relied on. And as they enter that field, there the corn awaits. I'm grateful today that we serve a God that is in control. And I hope in the beginning of this chapter, you see God orchestrating a plan that is far bigger than something Boaz and Ruth and Naomi could put together. It is His grand plan. And you are no different than Ruth or Boaz or Naomi. God has a plan for your life. And if you are in need today, He is your Redeemer. Please run to Jesus. That guiding hand of our God is upon Ruth's life. And it may seem like this thing just happened, but I want to remind you that as God intervenes, she is in that field of Boaz. And we are reminded that He is connected to Elimelech. And that is the grace of God, my friend. And here's my prayer. That the people that you come in contact with, and the places that you go, and the people that you work with, and the communities that you live in, and the family that surrounds you are not by accident. These are your places of ministry. God hasn't accidentally made you a police officer or a firefighter. God has not accidentally put you on the council. God has not accidentally put you in the school system. God has not accidentally made you a parent. God has a plan for every one of you. There are no accidents. Look at verses 4 through 7. And behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem and said unto the reapers, "The Lord be with you." And they answered him, "The Lord bless thee." Going back to the character, do you see how he greeted his workers? Verse 5, then said Boaz unto his servant that was set over the reapers, "Whose damsel is this?" And the servant that was set over the reapers answered and said, "It is the Moabitish damsel that came back with Naomi out of the country of Moab. And she said, I pray you, let me glean and gather after the reapers among the sheavers. So she came and hath continued even from morning until now that she tarried a little in the house." Point number 3 today is I want you to know this, that we must survey the field. Survey the field. Now, this is not a dating game, okay? I want to say this. But it's amazing how God works. As this man, Boaz, rides into town, he comes to check on what's going on the acreage that he owns. And he finds the workers, they are reaping and they've been working. And as the law tells them, as Deuteronomy tells them, they are not to cut all of it. They are to leave a strip that is around the outside of the land for people such as Ruth. People that cannot make it on their own. That strip around the outside of the field, they are to come and pick. And whatever falls to the ground, they're not to go back and collect. They are to leave that so people can be fed. This is the system at work, and it worked. So the workers are working. He sees that. He greets them with a godly greeting, a blessing of sorts, as he asks God's blessing upon those workers and upon their day and what they would hold. And then something catches his eye. Who is that woman? As Boaz, the owner of the field, comes in, he sees something different than he's seen before. In my mind, is it a beautiful woman? Absolutely it is. But here's what he does. As he's surveying that field, he sees the workers and he sees them following God's plan to leave the outside of their field unharvested for those that need it. And on the outskirts of the field, in a place that it doesn't look like she belongs, there's this beautiful young lady picking what's left over. And he inquires and says, "Who is that woman?" And as the workers do, they say, this is just a lady that has shown up. She is connected to Naomi. She is from Moab. And she is gleaning of the leftovers, which shows her status in life. She has been working all day. And the only break that she's taken was for a little while to go in the house to get a break. Now, I could get on the soapbox right here and talk about handouts and helping. You need to help yourself. That's all I'm going to say. The outside of the field was left, but Ruth had to go do the work. She had to go to the field. She had to work. She had to spend her time and her energy and effort getting what was given to her. But as she is doing that, here's the hand of God at work again, catching the eye of Boaz. And as Boaz asks, who is this woman? Boaz is a godly man. And he follows the godly law. And he's allowing this woman to take of the field. And we see a great example of what a true godly man looks like. Here's all I'm asking you before I move on. And that is this. Survey your field. When you think about the grace of God and the grace of man, God has given some of us some things by His grace. And God uses us, the man and the woman, by His grace. Whether you are in the position of Boaz, you can survey those people that are around you and use it to glorify God. And if you are in the position of Ruth, survey that field. It has what you need and more if you just are faithfully obedient to God. Survey your field. Take 1 second and just do this for me. Look around you. Look both sides. Don't look behind you. Don't look behind you. Just trust those people, okay? Look around you real quick. Is there somebody this morning in your field that you don't know? You better not let them get out of the field before you introduce yourself. When you go to your job, those people are in your field for a reason. When you are cooking dinner and you're in your home and you're making beds and you're doing laundry and you're cleaning house, and that's hard stuff, those people are in your field. And if you're like me, sometimes the people that are the closest to me in my field get the worst part. They get what's left over. Survey your field, because it's not by accident you're doing and you are where you are. When we look at Boaz, he understands who is in his field and what is going on, and by God's hand, what is going to happen. There's one more point, verses 8 through 10. And here comes the grace of man. Then said Boaz unto Ruth, hearest thou not, my daughter? Go not to glean in another field, neither go from hence, but abide here fast by my maidens. Let thine eyes be on the field that they do reap, and go thou after them. Have I not charged the young men that they shall not touch thee? And when thou art athirst, go into the vessels and drink of that which the young men have drawn. Listen to this. Then she fell on her face and bowed herself to the ground and said unto him, why have I found grace in thine eyes that thou shouldest take knowledge of me, seeing I am a stranger? Point number 4 today is simply this. There is a godly protection over Ruth. The first meeting and the first words between man and woman are this. Don't you dare leave my field. Don't you go away. Now, I want to be forthright here, because we have to be. This is not Boaz showing dominance. This is not saying that he owns or that she belongs to him. In no way is it diminishing anything about Ruth. But here is Boaz's message. If you don't leave my field, I will provide you with all that you need. There are other fields available. But I can promise you this. You will be taken care of. You will not grow hungry. You stay close to those women that are working, and those ladies will be your friends. Those men, they will not harm you. They will not touch you. They will protect you by my command. And if you need something as simple as something to drink, it will be provided for you. As Ruth hears those words, it brings her to her knees. With this simple question, what did I do to deserve your grace? If you're a believer in this room, just for one second, look at me. As we've heard the scripture today, you've done nothing to deserve the grace of God. Amen. It is His gift. We should fall at His feet and say, what have I done to deserve your grace? As I said a little bit earlier, when we think of the things that come our way, the one thing that we must be thankful for is the grace of God. It is by His grace that we rolled out of bed this morning, out of a cool house on a warm morning. And it is by His grace we had air to breathe in our lungs. It is by His grace we were able to get into a car and drive and not have to walk to church this morning. It is by His grace that we sit under His word. And it's by His grace we are saved, not that of ourselves. It is the gift of God. You can do nothing to earn or deserve the grace that God offers. But by faith today, you can turn to Him. And that's exactly what Ruth does. By faith, she turns to Boaz. She falls at His feet, knowing that she will be taken care of. Today, I don't know what kind of protection you need. I don't know what kind of answers you are looking for today. I don't know what kind of things are going on in your life. But here's what you need to hear today. It's no accident in the eyes of God. He can take care of it. You need to survey your field and the blessings that God has given you. Be thankful for them, but also be ready to reach out with that grace that He has given us. And from there, be thankful for what that field holds. Now, you're going to have to join me next week for the next part of this. But today, we end with a woman bowing down, saying, what have I done to deserve it? She could have been in Moab, but God led her to follow her mother-in-law. And it's amazing what else God is going to do. Today, I don't know the end of your story, but today, by the grace of God, here's an invitation I'm going to give you. If you are a believer in Jesus Christ, today, that takes a lot of work. It takes the work of God Almighty, but it also takes the work on our part to be faithful and obedient and responsible with what He has given us. Believer today, listen to me. If you are not where you are supposed to be, the grace of God will lead you home. If you will just be faithful. Today, if you're coming in this room, maybe you come not knowing Jesus. Maybe you come doubting salvation, doubting God, doubting anything. Here's what I want to tell you. God has a purpose for you even being here today. You're not here by accident. So today, if you are an unbeliever and you're here this morning within the sound of my voice, it is a God-ordained invitation saying you are in the field that offers grace this morning. And that grace comes by faith in a man that went to a cross and took the sin of the world upon his shoulders and died a gruesome and cruel death in our place. He was put in a borrowed tomb and he was raised on the third day to give life to all those who will believe. It is the grace of God that you are here today. By faith, you can come to him today. And so that is the invitation today. If you are an unbeliever, it's no accident. You don't have to get it all fixed. Let God do the work. By faith, you come to him today. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for a moment of invitation in which we look to you. And Lord, I pray, Lord, as we look to you today, Lord, that you will continue to lead us as a church and individually. Lord, this morning there may be some Christians in this room that are running away from God instead of running to God. So God, I pray, Lord, by your grace and by your Holy Spirit and the power that is there, that you draw them to yourself. Lord, bring them home. Lord, today, if there is someone here that has never surrendered their life to you, Lord, I pray that that grace of God is at work in their life. They know right now where they sit, the steps they need to take. God, I pray that you give them the courage, even though it's scary and so many questions and so many unknowns, that by faith they will come today. Thank you for what you're going to do in these moments of invitation, and we give them to you now in Jesus' name. Amen.
Clifford Baptist Church invites you to join us for worship every Sunday morning at 11 a.m. For more information about our church, please call our church office at 434-946-0555.